Verbal abuse, physical abuse, bombings, killings, violence against property, and worse, attacks on children. These are the issues facing millions of Christians worldwide every day. Why? Find out on the Mission Network News International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast. Did you know that 70% of the people in the world live in places where they don't have religious freedom? I'm Greg Yoder with Mission Network News.
And I'm Ruth Kramer. We've told you about them. Christians in North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iran, and others risk their lives every time they leave their homes. Why? For being a Christian.
Today, persecution will be our focus. President and founder of Gospel for Asia, K.P. Yohannan, will help us understand the meaning of persecution.
Do you understand the meaning of bearing the cross of Christ?
And while we think we may know, we probably don't. We'll also be hearing from two women who were imprisoned in Iran's notorious Evin prison, Maryam Rostampour and Marzia Amirizadeh.
For the first few weeks, we were just praying for our release, but after we could see how he was using us.
They'll tell you what it meant to have you praying for them.
Plus, what would IDOT be without prayer and music? We'll have Christians praying for persecuted believers around the world. And music from Sidewalk Prophets, Meredith Andrews, and Love in the Outcome. But first, a song reminding us that the worldwide body of Christ is one big symphony. Here's Josh Wilson on the Mission Network News IDOP radio broadcast.
It started out in Eden when he breathed in to the dust of the ground, creating the sound of a heartbeat like the drum beat to a song. It started out as a solo, then crescendoed to the ends of the earth, till everyone heard the music God is making in us all. Oh, and now every breath we breathe is a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every light to bring out the beauty in this world. So come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part in this symphony. Hear it in the laughing of an orphan, the very first time he looks in the eyes of the family who's here to bring him home. Feel it in the silence, in the worship of the church underground. They're singing without a sound somehow. And now every breath we breathe is a melody in the love song to the God who made every soul to sing, every life to bring out the beauty in this world. So come on with all your heart, lift your voice and play your part in this symphony.
From Josh Wilson on the Mission Network News International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast. Coming up, testimonies from two Iranian Christian women who were imprisoned for their faith, more music, and prayer for the persecuted church. But first, today's guest speaker is someone you may be familiar with. He's regularly featured on our daily broadcast. His name? Brother K.P. Yohanan. He's the founder and president of Gospel for Asia.
Brother K.P. and I have talked often about the persecuted church and what our response needs to be as Christians in the West. Those conversations led me to ask him about being our guest today on our broadcast. Now, during the next few minutes, you'll hear what the Bible says about persecution. You'll learn about bearing our cross for Christ's sake, and KP will help us understand what we need to do in response to this day. Here's KP Yohanan on the Mission Network News IDOP radio broadcast.
I do thank God, and I'm deeply grateful for this very special time during this year. And every year, when we are reminded of the suffering church, and as you know, church, regardless of denomination or what name they go by, look like everywhere, we are thinking about the suffering brothers and sisters during this very special day, the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. But like a lot of other things, I sometimes wonder, do we really understand what this is all about? Or what do we understand when we say persecuted church or persecution? Obviously, the word persecution helps us to think about the word suffering. But how do you explain suffering in tangible terms? What do you mean by that? Well, again, if you take time to think, we immediately will say, well, KP, it means physical suffering or mental suffering. You know, lack of food or misunderstanding and abuse and being put down and kicked out of schools and your house got burned down and possibly be martyred or killed for believing in Jesus. So all these images and explanations obviously comes to our mind. And for me, when I think about the persecution the people of God going through, several things comes to my mind. One is, it is reported that some 14,000 people are brutally murdered for their faith in Christ around the world. I mean, that's a lot of people. When you think about 365 days, you divide that with 365, you'll see it is a non-stop thing. But then keep in mind, this is only reported. How much more suffering going on that we don't have any understanding about? For example, in my own life, not a week go by, I don't get half a dozen emails and telephone calls of missionaries being beaten up and abused, their legs broken and thrown in prison, or all kind of stuff. Their children get kicked out of schools, parents throwing out their children because they confess Christ as their Lord. And, you know, it's one thing, I'm sure you agree, it's one thing to hear these things and know these things. It's an entirely different thing for us to think deeply and let that enter into our mind and our heart and make us respond to these kind of things based on our love for Christ and Christ's agony and his love for his body. You know, I think about this sad story I heard about one of our missionaries in an unreached mission field, and he went there hoping to witness and plant a church, and he did lead a couple of hundred people to the Lord, and a worship center was established. And then one day he was called desperately by some believers to visit one of the young person in the hospital. And the story is that this son was poisoned by his own family members. They tried to kill him, and his crime, he refused to deny his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another story, family members pouring acid on the face of a young girl because she refused to deny Christ. I personally know right now at least half a dozen young people who never can go back home. They gave their life to Christ. They were given this option. Either you deny Christ and come back to your old faith, or you leave home. You see, I don't know if I need to keep on telling you about what's going on. Obviously, you as a minister, a clergy, or a pastor, or a believer, living in this free nation, we are bombarded with huge amount of information about the suffering of the people of God. Oh, by the way, please don't forget, 100 years from now, you are going to be with these precious believers from Bhutan, China, Russia, Saudi Arabia, India, Bangladesh, remote communities. You never heard their language, you never met them, you have no clue about their foods and how they live. But one thing, they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They also experience the amazing wonder of being washed in the blood of the Lamb. And they are the sons and daughters, and we are going to be with them. How wonderful it would be, my brother, my sister, if in this life we are able to enter into the lives, especially the suffering, brothers and sisters, in many of these countries and cultures. But you may say, what do you want me to do? You see, what is our job? It is to seek the things of Christ. I'm sure you agree. We are told in Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things that are above, not on things that are here on earth. If that be the case, the value and meaning that drive us to make decisions for our daily lives and what we plan for the future, everything depend on something much more greater than the present tense and our own little lives. It must be things of eternal values. And that's the reason why we need to consider this. Jesus said, I was naked, you clothed me. I was in prison, you came to see me. I was abandoned, forgotten, forsaken, you became my friend. You see, those statements you read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 about what is going to happen. That portion of scripture from Matthew 25, when you look at that, you know this is to come. And so now we must live our life looking at the suffering church, the persecuted church, knowing that actually Christ is suffering. And how much time we actually spend praying for them, how much time we spend to think and enter into their world, not because you hear this on Road to Reality or read some book or somebody come after you, but rather you are searching out to find out what's going on. Think about this. If your son or daughter, after finishing their high school or so, they went to another country to study or do business or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you don't hear from them for a few months, I'm sure if you are a parent or grandparents like, you know, I am, we get really worried. And you do everything in the world to communicate with them. No telephone works, no email works, nothing works. What do? You will go to the end of the world to find out every avenue possible to find out where your son is, where your daughter is. If nothing else works, you will go to the embassy and say, look, we need to find out. And then you hear that they got an accident, they are in a hospital, or they got in some unfortunate crisis, end up in jail, or something like that. What you will do? I tell you what you'll do, what I will do. We will sell everything we have, if that's what it takes. Walk or swim or take a bus or train or fly or whatever means to get there. Yeah, it takes 30 hours of air travel or a journey through jungles for 3-4 days, but we will. Why? Because it's our own flesh and blood. Don't you think the precious brothers and sisters in Peshawar, Pakistan, just a few weeks ago, Sunday morning, as a couple of thousand people came to worship the Lord and hear from God's word, a couple of people walked in with bomb snapped on themselves and exploding these bombs and killing 80, 85 believers and hundreds of precious, innocent, helpless people are wounded and suffering. Think about the mental torture, the agony, the physical abuse and the destruction. Now the question is this, please understand me, I'm not trying to produce guilt trip or condemnation that you curse yourself for living in America or Europe. No, I'm trying to tell you, Christ now sitting on the right hand of the Father, when he saw his body, Stephen, one of his sons, being stoned, abused, lonely and alone. You read in the book of Acts chapter 7, Christ is not sitting. No, he's standing up. And Stephen was given the amazing privilege to see the glorious face of Christ. And you read that passage, kind of give you a glimpse of the heart of Christ, how he feels for the suffering body. Just one individual like Stephen. Now, you take that further. Think about in the state of Orissa, just a few years ago, which I'm sure you heard about. Some 4,000 homes, simple huts maybe, simple dwelling places, but 4,000 plus homes of these Christians, believers, were partially destroyed, completely destroyed, burned down. I never forget meeting one of our missionaries. He and his wife said, they came and burned down our house, everything we had. Finally, when we came back to see what happened, they had to run, flee for their life. They saw just partially burned one door frame standing up. Everything was completely demolished. That was a story of thousands of homes. Their crime? They gave up everything they believed in and gave up sin and living for darkness. They now follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They became sons and daughters of the living God. And Satan hates it. And people that are instigated and driven by this hatred, attack and abuse and destroy. Oh, by the way, thank God for thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands that prayed with us and said, you know, we are praying, but also we want to do something to bring hope and help for these believers. And we were able to construct over 1,000 homes completely and, you know, partially destroyed, being rebuilt. And thank God for the churches that we were able to rebuild. Again, that kind of helped me to say this to you. Sometime, more than you realize, we ourselves are the answer to the prayer that we are praying. Oh God, be with the suffering believers in Pakistan. Oh Lord, be with those people that are abused and right now in prison. Please, Lord. And then the Holy Spirit says, why didn't you think about canceling your planned vacation and take the resources and help my children to find a place to live, to buy clothes that they lost, Bibles that were destroyed? Why didn't you help them to build that church in that village, in the community, for them to worship me? You see, you should not now interpret what I'm telling you as a means to collect some money from you or some benefits. No, I'm telling you, often our spirituality remains as information, but that's not spirituality. You cannot divorce the physical part of our obedience, our willingness to die to self in order to enter into the suffering of Christ, especially on the behalf of the church, our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted around the world. I just think about, you know, this dear brother, one of our missionaries who spent 8 years in prison. And thank God, just a few months ago, he got released. You know what his crime was? Led several hundred people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the people around him didn't like him. And they created all kind of false charges against him, such as he was a terrorist and on, and locked him up. But the amazing thing, when one of our missionary leaders went to see him, many, many times over the years, every time he will say with a smile, "You know, I'm sad, but I must tell you, my Lord Jesus knows that I'm here. He has a plan." And of course, he's sad about his wife and kids living outside, and now he's in prison. But you want to know what happened? When he was allowed, he was let out, he now leaves a significant number of people behind that he led to Christ, and he was teaching and discipling. And in Nepal, the same thing happened. After our brother Manja was in prison for 10 years for a crime he didn't commit, except his only crime, leading people to Christ. But when he comes out, other prisoners that he led to Christ and discipled, some of them are right now studying in Bible schools, preparing themselves after they've been released so they can serve God. And that's what Paul said also. Remember in Philippians, you know, these believers are quite sad about Paul being in prison, abused and all that. He says, "Oh, don't worry about it. I just want you to know one thing. All that happened to me helped for the furtherance of the gospel. May now we choose to say no to ourselves and be the kind of people that will need to spend even the whole night or day or days in prayer, especially times like this, when you know what happened in Pakistan or in Orissa or what's happening in China or the Muslim countries. May the Lord break our hearts that break His heart, and may He lead us with His burden that we'll go alone and as a community to pray and intercede. May the Lord speak to us. Amen."
Brother K.P. Yohanan on the Mission Network News International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcasts. And you can hear the whole thing at missionnetworknews.org/IDOP. I'm Greg Yoder.
And I'm Ruth Kramer. It's missionnetworknews.org/IDOP. Remember, we'll have some incredible testimonies from two Iranian women who were imprisoned for being Christians. Plus, prayer for persecuted believers in Egypt, Nigeria, and Burma, or Myanmar. But first, a song. Here's Help Me Find It, Sidewalk Prophets, on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
I don't know where to go from here. It all used to seem so clear. I'm finding I can't do this on my own. I don't know where to go from here. As long as I know that you are near, I'm done fighting, I'm finally letting go. I will trust in you. You've never failed before. I will trust in you. If there's a road I should walk, help me find it. If I need to be still, give me peace for the moment. Whatever your will, can you help me find it? Can you help me find it? Before I will wait for you.
Sidewalk Prophets on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast, honoring Christians around the world who are suffering because of their faith in Christ. Someday we could be talking about each other. Today, though, we're going to be focusing on a few areas of the world: Nigeria, Egypt, Myanmar or Burma, and Iran. We'll have prayer for those areas of the world in just a few moments.
But first, testimonies from two women who were arrested for sharing their faith in Iran. Miriam Rustampour and Marzia Amirizadeh were arrested March 5th, 2009, after they had not only converted from Islam to Christianity, but were actively sharing their faith and distributing God's word. Miriam and Marzia spent 9 months in the notorious Evin prison simply for handing out New Testaments and converting to Christianity.
Greg, they had to overcome their fear of life imprisonment and the possibility of execution because they loved and followed Jesus Christ. I mean, they had to remain strong through weeks in solitary confinement and endless hours of interrogation by Iranian officials and the religious leaders. They had to endure months of harsh living conditions and debilitating sickness.
Now, the testimonies you'll hear from these two women are documented in a new book called Captive in Iran by Tyndall House Publishers. Here are Miriam Rustampour and Marzia Amirizadeh on the Mission Network News International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast.
We got this question many times from people. Why did you continue serving the Lord in Iran? Why didn't you want to deny your faith in prison? I can say that the main reason is our personal relationship with Jesus. You know, we met with Jesus, we tasted his love, and we experienced him. If we deny Jesus, it is like denying ourselves. And, you know, Jesus, we live with Jesus, and Jesus is our everything in our lives. And our passion is to be able to serve him. And at that time, we knew how much Iranians were thirsty to hear about Christianity. And we knew that they are so tired of the Islamic rules and the Islam and this government. And they are so open to hear about Jesus and Christianity. And, you know, during the 4 years that we were serving the Lord in Iran, we didn't have even one bad experience. And most people were receptive. And that was so encouraging for us. And that was the reason we wanted to continue our mission in Iran.
The day we got arrested, I received a call from a stranger in the morning, and he had some questions about my car documents and asked me to go to the police station. When I went there, they took all my documents, handcuffed me, and told me that you are under arrest of being a Christian and evangelizing. After that, they sent us three guards with me to search our apartment, and they ransacked all our apartments and took both of us with all our belongings, CDs, books, everything that it was regarded to Christianity. They took both of us to police station, and for the first day in police station, we had a very heavy interrogation. And late at night, they transferred us to another detention, which called Vozara. And we were in Vozara for 15 days. And after that, they sent us to Evin prison.
You know, before going to prison, we had a house church for prostitutes. And in Iran, it's very difficult to find these women because it's not like other countries that there is a specific area for these people. And we just started with two women, and those two women introduced us to their friends. And it was difficult for us. We were praying and asking God, you know, to show us the people that we can share the gospel with them. But when we went to detention for the first 15 days in Vozara, we understood that that was a place for prostitute. And there were, every day we could talk to, I think 10, 15 women, that they were all prostitutes and addicted. And I believe that in 15 days, we could talk to 70 prostitutes in that detention. And, you know, for the first few weeks, we were just praying for our release because the condition was very difficult. But after we could see God's miracle and how he was using us as a tool to give his message to prisoners and even to guards, we understood that God has a plan for us in that dark place. And they were asking questions because most women in prison or in detention, they are curious. When you are a newcomer, they just, come and ask about your crime, and you need to explain what your crime is. And they were asking us, what is your crime? We told them that we are Christians, and, you know, they were surprised, they were shocked that Christianity is a crime. And they asked more questions, why is the crime, and why you converted to Christianity? We could explain our testimonies and why we converted to Christianity, and then they became so more curious, and they asked more questions, and we had this opportunity to share the message of Christianity with most of them. Most people in Iran are open and eager to hear about Christianity because they are tired of the rules of Islam, and especially for women. Women in Islam have no rights. They don't have equal rights with men. And women in Iran are under so much pressure and stress because of this government, because of Islamic rules, and they are more open to hear about Jesus because Jesus' message is about grace and love. And that's why they love to hear more about it.
You know, for the first few months, we didn't have any connection with the world outside, even our families. And we feel so lonely, and we thought that we completely forgotten by the world outside. Because the Iranian government, when they arrest you, you cannot have a lawyer for a few months, and you don't know what will happen to you. But after a few months, when we could contact our sister through our sisters, it was a big surprise for us that we understood that many Christians from all around the world, they were supporting us either by praying or sending letters to prison. And it was so encouraging for us. And we realized that we are not alone. Instead, we have a big family, a spiritual family, that they are supporting us. And it was a big encourage for us, and we became more stronger, and we understood that we are not alone in this battle. There are many people that are standing behind us, and it makes us more strength. The first time that we heard about letters, two guards, they were security guards, and they were very famous. They came to prison to talk to us, and they were so angry about this, and one of them told us that every day you receive many letters from all around the world, and your letters is more than our official letters. It's about 50 letters a day. We understood that people are supporting us, and they didn't give us any, even one letter. But one of guard, he talked to us and asked us that what does it mean? Because we have to open your letters and read it, because Iranian government forces us to check those letters. And what does it mean? Jesus is our shepherd. And we praise the Lord that God, even we couldn't read those letters, but God used those letters to send his message to the guards and other people.
Can I add one more thing? I just wanted to thank Voice of Martyrs, because when we got released, we understood that Voice of Martyrs started this campaign. After those letters, we could see that their behavior was completely changed. Before, they treated us very bad, but after, you know, those letters, they started treating us well, and they started to behave, in a way that to show that, you know, we don't have any problem with you, because they were so scared, and that was so encouraging. It's very difficult when you are in prison. You feel the loneliness, and I cannot explain it by words. We could feel the power of prayers, and we know that there is power in our prayers when we pray in Jesus' name. And I would like to encourage all of you here that, you know, your prayers can make a difference, and people in prison can feel the prayers, can feel the power of your prayers, and it can make a huge difference. And also there are other practical ways that we can support those who are still in persecution, like sending letters to prisoners and show the government that these people are not alone, and they have family, they have people who are supporting them. I would like to encourage you, when you pray for them, pray for their physical strength too, because it can affect their mental, strength. When we were in prison in Evin, it's completely different. Sometimes we talk to our American friends, and we tell them that, you know, American prisons are more like a hotel. But in Iran, it's completely different because of the food, because of the medical situation. You know, for 9 months, we were both sick. We couldn't see a doctor. And I was poisoned twice. And Marzia was sick all the time. And they didn't let us to see a doctor, especially when they hear that you are Christian. They consider you a dirty person, and they don't let you to see a doctor. So please pray for their physical strength, for their families, because their families are also suffering. They are in prison and their families cannot have access to them. They cannot have contact with them. And, you know, you just need to wait. And that's a big struggle for their families too. So we can support them by our prayers, and we can help sometimes by donating, sometimes by giving to ministries that they are supporting prisoners. And I'm sure that we can find many practical ways to help these people.
That's Miriam Rustampour and Marzia Amarizada on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast. And you can hear the whole thing at missionnetworknews.org/IDOP. I'm Greg Yoder.
And I'm Ruth Kramer. Special thanks to the Voice of the Martyrs for providing us that audio. And just a reminder, you can read their whole story in their new book, Captive in Iran, by Tyndale House Publishers. There's a link at our website.
Before we go to prayer, let's listen to a song that reminds us of God's faithfulness. The lyrics help us know that God not only understands our circumstances, but He's sovereign over them.
Here's Meredith Andrews, Not for a Moment, on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
You were reaching through the storm, walking on the water, even when I could not see. In the middle of it all, when I thought you were a thousand miles away, not for a moment did you forsake me, not for a moment.
Meredith Andrews on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast. We're going to turn our attention next to prayer. After all, this is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We're going to start in Egypt.
Ruth, Egypt ranks 25th on Open Doors World Watch list of the worst countries where Christians are persecuted. The rise and fall of the Muslim Brotherhood has seen Christians become the targets of attacks. Churches have been burned, pastors have been attacked. Recently, a drive-by shooting at a church wedding killed and injured believers. Today, we start our IDOP prayer time with a believer whose name we can't mention for security reasons.
Lord Jesus, I lift up Egypt between your hand. You see what's going on there. This land are blessed when you came and you visited Egypt. How your feet touched our land. Many promises in the Bible. Blessed be my people, Egypt. I pray that your peace cover our land. I pray that you take away all the hatred, all the conflict, all the fighting going on. I pray also for all the churches in Egypt. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of unity among all the Christians there. I pray that you keep your church strong. I pray that you give them a spirit of courage to be a witness for your work among all this difficulty. I pray, Lord, for Egypt as a heart of the Middle East. I pray that from Egypt, many missionaries will go out and they reach many other countries. I pray that your name will be glorified in our land. I pray that many knees will bow down and many tongues will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord over their life. I believe that you can turn all the sadness into joy. You can turn all the difficult situation into opening for your gospel and for the good news about Jesus Christ. And I thank you because you are a loving and caring God and you hear our prayer in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Nigeria ranks 13th on the Open Doors World Watch list. The extremist agenda is to force Nigeria into Islamic law despite having a Christian president. The group Boko Haram is responsible for killing hundreds of Christians. In the 12 northern Islamic states, Christians experience persecution and restrictions in schooling, threats of abduction, forced marriages, as well as denials of employment, clean water, and health care. It's dangerous to convert and for churches to integrate new converts. Here's the General Secretary of the Christian Association of Nigeria, Musa Asake, on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
Our God and our Father, I want to thank you very much for this day and for this time. Thank you for being our God who is always there for us. Thank you for seeing us through even in difficult times. We pause at this very moment to pray for the persecuted church worldwide. Father, you know what your children are going through. You know what the enemy is doing. Father, I pray that you protect your children. I pray, Father, that you intervene. I pray, oh God, that through this persecution, the church will be purified and that we'll be standing before you one day, thanking you for seeing us through this kind of persecution. And so I commit our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world that, Father, you will help them to endure till the end and that you will say one day to us, faithful servants, come and inherit the kingdom. Thank you for this opportunity, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Religious freedom is taking a backseat to legislation that's aimed at curbing religious radicalism, especially in Belarus, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Azerbaijan. President of Russian Ministry Sergei Rakuba prays for this area of the world on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
Father God, we come to you in the gratefulness of our hearts. And as your children now, we want to lift in our prayers to you those lives who are in dangers now, worshiping you in those difficult circumstances in the countries of the former Soviet Union. And you see all these fundamental Islamist radicals, you know, that are trying to oppress our brothers and sisters. We ask that you will protect them there. We ask that you would give wisdom to the leaders of the church in the countries of Uzbekistan, where pastors are still in jail just for trying to share their faith with others. We pray that you will provide comfort to their families, their loved ones. Replace that emptiness with your presence. Father, we're praying for the leaders of those countries so that they would allow these churches freely continue spreading the gospel, worshiping you, preaching your grace to millions of those who are in need of your salvation. Father, we pray for Pastor Kushkumbayev, who was arrested again in Kazakhstan. We ask that you would give wisdom to the lawyers that are helping him and his family so that the sentence will not be as severe. We're praying, Father, that you would provide resources that needed to support these families, to provide enough training materials for all these underground leaders in those areas, that they will continue despite of all these difficulties. We join this millions of voices, so we want that you specifically will bless these areas that Russian ministers is working in. So the areas of the former Soviet Union, especially in Central Asian countries, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan. We pray for Belarus, we pray for Russia, so that despite of all these difficulties, the church will continue worshiping you in freedom, continue spreading the gospel, bringing salvation to those people who are in great need. All we pray in your holy name. Amen.
We conclude our prayer time today in Myanmar, or Burma. This area ranks 32nd on the Open Doors World Watch list. Violence is increasing against Christians of the Kachin and Karen tribes. Many have been killed. Here's Bishop Zothan Mawia on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray for the people of Myanmar. We know that, Lord, you died on the cross, you shed your blood, you paid the penalty of our sins for the people of Myanmar. You love them, Lord. Though they are Buddhists, though they are Muslims, though they are the faith group, but Lord, we know that you love them so much, and we love them. We love them, and we like to do our best that we may be able to share you, Jesus Christ, that they also may be able to have you and have a blessed, victorious, eternal life, Lord. And we know that, Lord, you are able to strengthen your church, your people in our country. Lord, we pray for the Asian Access, Lord, the ministry that we have been to. Lord, strengthen your people that we may be able to share the good news and we may be able to be a channel of peace and for reconciliation in our country. Here we are, Lord, use us. And here, the people that you loved, Lord, we pray that may your protection, may your care, and may your touch of the Holy Spirit be upon them, Lord. Change the hearts of your people and change the hearts of the people of Myanmar, Lord, that we may be able to come back to you and be able to even be a channel of joy, love to even our neighboring countries, Lord. Use us. We pray for the leaders that they may be able to have wisdom from above, that they may be able to rule this country in peace and in tranquility according to your will, according to your words. Revive us. Revive your people and revive your country. Back to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
And we close our MNN IDOP radio broadcast with a song that encourages us in our time of uncertainty. That uncertainty can be everyday circumstances or in life-threatening circumstances when we ask the question, where is God? Here's Love and the Outcome. He is with us on the MNN IDOP radio broadcast.
Remember when your hope is lost and faith is shaken. Remember when you wonder if you're gonna make it. There's a hand stretched out through your deepest doubt. We can't pretend to see the ending. Oh, it's coming up ahead. Don't know the story of tomorrow.
Trust our God. He knows what he's doing, though.
Love and the Outcome on the Mission Network News International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast.
While the persecuted church is near and dear to our hearts every day, not just during IDOP, we also want to provide you with books and other resources that'll help you in your walk with the Lord.
We're not always strong in times of persecution. Sometimes we disappoint God. I know I do. Have you ever failed to stand up for your faith when it was time to do so? Have you ever done something that made you think, God could never use me?
When you support Mission Network News with your best gift, we'll send you a copy of the book, The God Who Walks Beside Us, by David Roper. He reminds us that even though we fail God, He's not giving up on us. Even in allowing disappointing things to happen, God still remains our greatest advocate. Using the lessons of Jacob, Roper helps us gain a better understanding of how God can use you in spite of your brokenness.
To get a copy with your gift of any amount, go to missionnetworknews.org. Again, that's missionnetworknews.org, where you can give safely and securely online.
Again, that's the book, The God Who Walks Beside Us, by David Roper, with your gift of any amount. We'd like to thank Gospel for Asia, the Voice of the Martyrs, Russian Ministries, Asian Access, and ION Network for their help in today's program. If you missed part of the broadcast today and would like to hear it in its entirety, go to missionnetworknews.org/IDOP. That's all lowercase. It's missionnetworknews.org/IDOP.
Thanks to this station for making the MNN IDOP radio broadcast available. On behalf of our entire team, Julie Oosterhaus, Hannah Keyes, Sharon Felton, Laurel Torero, our producer, Don Morris, and my co-host, Ruth Kramer, I'm Greg Yoder, thanking you for listening to the Mission Network News International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church radio broadcast, a production of Cornerstone University Radio.